So what do we have here? It's dead? I think it's alive. It's a little droopy, but it's alive. Yeah, that's right. It's a plant. That's right. And it's living and it's growing. Very good. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to do something for me. Can you guys listen to the Bible story and then we'll talk about the rest of the things in our box? Can you guys do that for me? Okay. Okay, good stuff. That's what I like to hear. Okay. So here's what Jesus says in the Bible, okay? Jesus said, listen, a farmer went out to plant his seed. How many of you got seeds when you walked in today? I hope most of you did, but we might have run out at the end there. Sorry about that. While the farmer was planting, some seed fell by the road. The birds came and ate all that seed. Some seed fell on the rocky ground where there wasn't much dirt. The seed grew very fast there because the ground was not deep. But then the sun rose and the plants withered. The plants died because they did not have deep roots. Some other seed fell among thorny weeds. The weeds grew and choked the good plants, so those plants did not make grain. Some other seed fell on good ground. In the good ground, what do you think the seed did in the good ground? It began to grow, that's right, and it grew and it made a crop of grain. Some plants made 30 times, some 60 times more grain, and some 100 times more grain than was planted. And then later, did you know Jesus asked his disciples, or his disciples asked Jesus, what do you mean by that? And what do you think he said the seed was? Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. That's the Bible. Hey? Okay, you want to see what else I have in my box here? Okay. Well, in my box, I kind of want to grow a seed today, okay? So I think you guys need to help me out. So let's see. If I take a seed, I've got some seeds here. If I take a seed and put it in, okay, is it going to grow?
No.
I just put it in and wait? No? Well, what do I need?
Water it.
Water? Just water? Is there anything else?
Soil.
Soil. Oh, I need something to put the seed
sun.
In. Oh, okay. Oh, and sun too. Okay. Let's see. Okay, well, do you think if I put these rocks in on top of it, do you think that would make the seed grow?
No.
And I just put those in there with it?
No.
No? You don't think that would work?
No.
Well, what do you think I should put in?
Squish.
Oh, it would squish. Oh, I should put in some soil. Oh, okay. I think I can do that. Okay. So, let's put some soil in here.
Hey, I can see.
You guys are all good gardeners. I can tell already.
I can see.
It looks like chocolate.
Does it? Mm. I wouldn't eat it, though.
Wait.
All right. Okay, so we got some soil in there. Okay, now somebody said something else I have to do. Do I have to water it?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I put this Diet Coke in here, would that, you think that would work?
No.
No?
Water.
Well, I can't just put any liquid in? I have to put a special one in? Oh, I have to actually put water in. Oh, okay. Okay, so there we go. Okay. Okay, so I'll put some water in. Okay, do I need to feed it?
Yeah.
Should I feed it with potato chips?
No.
No? You don't think potato chips would make the seed grow?
No.
No? How about plant food?
Yeah.
Oh, plant food. Okay, so I'll put a little bit of plant food in there. All right. So, and you said we needed sun, and I think it needs a little bit of time to grow, hey? You think that? Okay, do you guys want to go sit down on the bench again? Very good. Okay. So do you guys see that when we're growing a seed, you have to make all the right choices about that seed, don't you? You have to put in the right kind of soil, and you have to put in the right kind of water, and you have to put in the right kind of food, hey? Okay, and did you know that we're like that too? That if we want the Word of God to grow in our hearts, we have to make the right kind of choices too. Does that make sense? All right, we're going to go and sing some more songs, okay? We're going to sing a song about the Word of God, Thy Word, being planted in our hearts, okay? So you guys can stand up, and maybe you guys can even use some instruments here if you want, okay? All right. You want to stand with us, and we'll sing Thy Word. I'd like to tell you guys a story this morning. Its story comes from a book by C.S. Lewis, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. So some of you that have seen the Chronicles of Narnia, some of the same people are in this story. But this story is actually about a boys and girls Have you ever heard of the name Eustace? Eustace? What a silly name, hey? But that's the little boy in our story this morning, okay? Now, Eustace has just come into a special land called Narnia, and he's running away from his cousins Lucy and Edmund because he isn't a very nice person, Eustace, and he finds himself in a valley that he's never seen before in this story. And that's where we're going to pick up our story with Eustace, okay? Okay. The climate of this island was a very unpleasant one. In less than a minute, Eustace was soaked to the skin and half-blinded with rain, such as one never sees in Europe. There was no use trying to climb out of the valley as long as the rain lasted, so he bolted for the only shelter in sight. It was a dragon's cave. He lay down there and tried to get his breath. Now, I expect most of us would know what we would expect to find in a dragon's cave, but Eustace had only read the wrong sort of books. He was puzzled as to what he might be lying on. It clinked when he moved around. There was light enough by the cave's mouth to examine it. And of course, Eustace found what probably all these boys and girls here could tell us you would find in a dragon's cave. What would you find in a dragon's cave, do you think? Nothing? What do you think you might find in a dragon's cave? Did somebody say gold? Gold, that's right, and treasure, that's right. There were crowns and coins and rings and bracelets and precious gems. Now, Eustace, unlike most boys, had never thought much about treasure, but he saw at once that it would be a great use in this new world. I wonder how much I can carry, he thought. Now, that bracelet, those things in it are probably diamonds. So he took the bracelet and he slipped it up on his own wrist, but it was too big. And so he put it right up here on his arm so that it didn't get lost. He got up to a less uncomfortable part of the pile where it was mostly coins and he settled down to wait. But Eustace was very tired, so he fell asleep. Eustace slept and slept and slept. What woke him was a pain in his arm. The moon was shining in the mouth of the cave and the bed of treasure seemed to have grown much more comfortable. In fact, he could hardly feel it at all. He was puzzled by the pain in his arm at first, but presently it occurred to him that maybe the bracelet, which he had shoved up above his elbow, it had become strangely tight. His arm must have swollen while he was asleep. He moved his right arm in order to feel his left, but he stopped after he moved it an inch, for right in the floor in front of him was a dragon's claw. He knew what that was. He moved his hand, and when he moved his hand, the claw moved too, and when he stopped, that claw stopped. Oh, what a fool I've been, thought Eustace. Of course, this is a dragon's lair, and a dragon has come back and is sleeping beside me. Well, for several minutes, he didn't dare move a muscle. He saw two columns of thin smoke coming up from his nose, and he could see that against the moonlight. This was so alarming that he began to hold his breath. And as long as he held his breath, the two columns of smoke stopped. And all of a sudden, he couldn't hold his breath anymore, so he let it out. And the two columns rose up again. But even then, he had no idea of what had really happened. Presently, he decided that he would edge very cautiously to his left and try and creep out of the cave. Perhaps the creature was asleep. And anyway, it was his only chance. But, of course, before he edged to the left, he looked to the left. And oh, horror! He saw a dragon's claw on the left, too. Well, no one would blame Eustace at that moment if he shed a tear or two. But it was no use crying. He must try to crawl out from between the two dragons. So he began extending his right arm, and the dragon's foreleg and claw on the right went with him in exactly the same motion. And then he thought he would try his left, and the dragon's limb on that side moved to the left, too. The two dragons, one on each side, mimicking whatever he did. His nerve broke, and he simply made a run for it. Now, there was such a clatter and a clinking of gold and grinding of stones that he thought that both the dragons were following right behind him. He didn't dare look back. He rushed to the middle of the valley where there was a pool. He hardly noticed anything around him. His idea was just simply to get right in the water. But just as he reached the edge of the pool, two things happened. First of all, it came over of him all of a sudden like a thunderclap that he had been running on all fours. Why had he been doing that? And secondly, as he bent toward the water and looked in, he saw another dragon staring at him right from the middle of the pool. And in an instant, he realized the truth. The dragon's face in the pool was his own reflection. There was no doubt about it. It moved as he moved. It opened and shut his mouth as he opened and shut his. He had turned into a dragon while he was asleep, sleeping on a dragon's herd of gold with greedy, dragonish thoughts in his heart. He had become a dragon himself. And if you're interested to find out what happens to Eustace after this, you'll have to stay tuned because we're going to learn about him a little bit later in our service, okay? Let's sing together, "Be Still and Know That I Am God," and you can remain seated as we sing. Eustace again, the dragon, but now he's returned to his friends, and he's no longer a dragon. So he's talking with his cousin Edmund about his adventure. So he says, "I won't tell you how I became a dragon until I can tell the others and do it all at once. But I want to tell you how I stopped being a dragon." "Fire ahead," said Edmund. "Well, last night I was more miserable than ever, and that beastly arm ring was hurting like anything, and I was lying awake and wondering what on earth would become of me. And then I looked up, and the very last thing I expected, I saw a huge lion was coming slowly toward me. And the one strange thing was that there was no moon last night, but there was moonlight wherever that lion was. So it came nearer and nearer. I was terribly afraid of it. You might think that being a dragon, I could have knocked the lion out pretty easily. But it wasn't that kind of fear. I wasn't afraid of the lion eating me. I was just afraid of it, if you can understand. Well, it came close to me and it looked straight into my eyes. And I shut my eyes really tight, but that wasn't any good, because the lion told me to follow it. And I knew that I'd have to do whatever the lion told me, so I got up and I followed it. And I led it a long way over the mountains. And there was always this moonlight over and around the lion wherever we went. So at last we came to the top of a mountain that I've never ever seen before. And on the top of this mountain was a garden with trees and fruit and everything. And in the middle of the garden was a well. I knew it was a well because you could see the water bubbling up from the bottom of it, but it was a lot bigger than most wells. It was kind of like a big round bathtub with marble steps going into it. And the water was clear as anything. And I thought if I could get in there and bathe, it would ease the pain in my arm. But the lion said to me, "First you must undress." I was just going to say that I couldn't undress because I hadn't any clothes on, when suddenly I thought that dragons are snaky sorts of things, and snakes can shed their skins. And of course I thought, that's what the lion means. So I started scratching myself, and my scales began coming off all over the place. And then I scratched a little bit deeper, and instead of just scales coming off, my whole skin came off, just like I was a banana. In a minute or two, I stepped out of it, and I could see it lying there beside me, looking rather nasty. It was a most lovely feeling, so I started to go down into the well for my bath. But just as I was about to put my foot in the water, I saw that they were still the hard, rough, wrinkled, and scaly feet that I'd had before. "Oh, that's all right," I said. "It only means I had another smaller suit on underneath the first one, and I'd have to get out of that one, too." So I scratched and tore again, and this underskin, it peeled off beautifully, and out I stepped, and I left it lying beside the other one, and went down to the well for my bath. Well, exactly the same thing happened again. And I thought to myself, oh dear, how many skins have I got to take off? For I was longing to bathe my sore leg. So I scratched away for the third time and I got off a third skin, just like the other two, and stepped out of it. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I saw that it had been no good. Then the lion said, you will have to let me undress you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty desperate now. So I just lay flat on my back and let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. And the only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I'd done to myself the other three times, only they hadn't hurt. And there the skin was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, smooth and soft, and smaller than I'd been. Then the lion caught hold of me. I didn't like that very much, for I was very tender underneath, now that I had no skin on. And he threw me into the water. It smarted more than anything, but only for a moment, and after that it became perfectly delicious. And as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I'd been turned into a boy again. Do you think it was a dream? Eustace asked Edmund. I think you've seen Aslan, said Edmund. It would be nice and fairly true to say that from that time forth, Eustace was a different boy. To be strictly accurate, he began to be a different boy. He had relapses. There were still many days where he could be very tiresome, but we'll mostly overlook those. The cure had begun. Can you put up our cartoon? We talk about giving up things for Lent. And sometimes we're like these sheep. I took a page from your book, Devin. Sometimes we're like these sheep. Deny yourself, I'm already there. In this economy, who has a choice? I gave up my mocha lattes when the Lehman Brothers went under. This isn't about mocha lattes. Now all we can do is wait for Easter and hope that things turn around. Often we talk about giving up something for Lent, and we do it more for ourselves or something that we do under our power, without realizing what it would cost us. Eustace tried to stop being a dragon all by himself 3 times before he let Aslan undress him. Are you feeling particularly dragon-y today in some area of your life? John 12:24 says, I tell you the truth, a grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die. Then it makes many seeds. But if it never dies, it remains only a single seed. Many of you received seeds when you came in today. I want you to take those seeds home with you. And I want you to think about something in your life that you need to give up, that you need to die to, that you need to have peeled off you, anything like that. And I encourage you, in fact, some of you noticed when you walked in, there are also cups of dirt at the back. So I also encourage you to take home a cup of dirt, and wherever you find yourself over lunch, if it's with your family or with some friends or even by yourself, I encourage you to write on the cup anything that you can think of that you want to give up, that you want to die to, that you want to have peeled off. And then I encourage you to plant your seed. When you plant a seed, you can't see it anymore. You lose it. Some people ask me, because they're sunflower seeds, if they could eat them. You can't eat your seeds and still plant them. But if you plant them, they will die and become something new, something living. And so I encourage you, if you are able, to keep that cup in a place where you can see it and to water your seed, but not with Diet Coke, with actual water, and to see if it will grow for you and see if there's anything in your life that will grow because of something that you have given up or put away. If you have children, I encourage you to do this with your kids over lunch. They may not understand it, but maybe they will see you being able to do something, change something in your life, and that will give them hope or courage. So, just before we go, we're going to sing a final song about Change My Heart, O God. So let's sing to them.
Working. There we go. I get to close our time. You may as well have a seat. No, I'm just kidding. You don't. Well, you can't.
You can't.
Sorry, you can have a seat. It's precious that Grace was standing there with you, and so I'm Nathan? Oh, no, he's at work. Right, I forgot. It's wonderful to see her face and to see Aslan in the background. And that's how you say it, right? Aslan. And that was very precious because in C.S. Lewis, Aslan represents the Messiah, and so it was beautiful to see that picture. But this passage in Luke that Mandy began with ends with these words. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe. So that they may not believe. Those of the rock on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, see, the dragons, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil, not the rocks, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. By persevering, produce a crop. I look around and I think every one of you, at some point in your life, you've persevered. Whether it's been as a child growing up, or whether it's through high school you had to persevere, or maybe it's at parenting, or maybe even now for you, those of you prime time, you persevere every day. Maybe it's in your relationships you persevere. But Mandy spoke very clearly today through the story that don't allow the devil to come and take away the word from your heart. Because you know this word. Do you? You've heard it spoken here. You believe it. And that seed is planted in you. And soil is embracing you. Allow yourself to grow and mature. And that begins with removing what the devil's trying to take from you. Or trying to keep within you. So do that today. I like how Mandy put that together, that when you plant that seed, mark on there what you need to remove today. And I like that. You need to do that. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, There may be something that you need to shed, to give up, in order for your life to grow and mature. And I don't know what that is, and I don't need to know what that is. But I do want you to make an agreement with God somehow today that you're gonna shed what it is that's just really preventing you from God and the Word. And maybe it's even been the church. You've been hurt in the church. I speak to a lot of people who've been hurt in the church. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But I do know that when you shed it, then you actually start persevering and enjoying life even more. So take the opportunity today to do that. You sang the song, "Change My Heart, O God," and you know we can sing that song. But maybe that's your cry out today, change my heart. Oh God, change my heart. Lord, I need change to happen in my heart. Maybe you need to just say, God, and that starts with just getting rid of the hurt in my life or the pain or maybe even just persevering. Maybe you need to say, God, I want to persevere through this. But while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're willing to say today, God, I'm going to deal with this, just lift up your hand. Just lift your hand. God, I'm going to shed this today. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees those hands. Yeah, I'm going to shed this today, God. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to get rid of the pain. God, I'm giving it to you and surrendering it to you. Maybe you need to say, God, I want to persevere through this. I don't know what it is. Don't need to know. And you need to say, God, I want to persevere. I'm going to take up that persevering. If you're saying that today, I'm going to persevere. Just lift your hand up. It'll underline what you're saying to God. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Maybe you just want to say, God, change my heart. Change my heart. Selma, would you start playing that again? And maybe you want to say that. Change my heart, oh God. And you really want to meet it in your heart today. Change my heart. And if you're saying that to him right now, God, just change me. Change me, change me. Do whatever it takes, God, to change me into who you want me to be. Again, just lift your hand up. Just lift your hand. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. I invite you all to stand, and this is going to be our benediction. Can you put the words back up on there? You don't need to look at the words if you know them. Just make it your prayer. But Joel, can you get the words up there? Change my heart, oh God. And I want you to sing this as our benediction, because this is really our prayer, isn't it? Sing it to him like you mean it. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the Father God, this morning we've requested that change. Lord, we don't know what that means, but we ask, Lord, that you not only just, in a sense, undress us of all those things that prevent us, Lord, from growing. Lord, but we also ask that we would be fed those things that would help us to grow even more, like persevering. God, may we be people who persevere. May we be people, Lord, who come to you with our hurts and our pain. And may we say, God, change us. Change us, change us, change us, God. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.